Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to read to you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We'll read verse 28, 29, and 30. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. You may have a different translation, and so some of the words are a little bit different. I'll go over some of those different words in a moment that are synonymous and mean the same thing. So, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor," or some translations might say, "those who are weary, those who are burdened. Come to me, all who are burdened and are heavy laden, weighed down." Feel the weight of it. And he says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," or from me, "for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Would you turn to a couple people and say, "Does your soul need rest?" I know some of you thinking, "My body does." But does your soul need rest? "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These are a couple of marvelous verses on, you know, comfort and hope, right? Because our soul, our mind, our emotions, that place where we decide things and sort things out within us, where our thought life is, our contemplation, where we feel demands, some that we have placed upon ourselves, some that we have allowed others to place on us, some things that we place on ourselves that aren't even necessarily from the Lord or biblical, but we think we're trying to do some spiritual expression that would give God's attention to say, "Hey, I'm trying." This passage, it really addresses the futile part of some of our efforts. Now, we should have responsibility that, you know, moves us to action, to right decisions, to lay ourselves down and pick up the way of Christ, right? And that takes decision and effort. But you know, and I know, that we are not supposed to give some effort to try to gain some favor from the Lord. I mean, we can do that in our life, but as far as it comes to salvation and rest for our souls, that doesn't involve labor. We're supposed to labor. We're supposed to work, but it's not going to earn us salvation. You hear that? Our efforts are supposed to be as a result of God's grace and our faith in Him. The result of that is we give effort. We don't give effort to gain salvation. Effort and the effort we give are a result of that true salvation. That effort is different. when Jesus says this, you have to remember he's addressing a crowd of people. He's addressing in that crowd religious leaders who are there, okay? And you have to remember, you know, if you look at different places, but in Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus addresses them and says, why do you, and telling the people, watch out for this, but why do you lay heavy burdens upon the people? See, what they did is they laid heavy laws, and in addition to heavy laws outside of the law of Moses, Ten Commandments, outside the law of Moses, they added other laws, and now they decided to add some of their own traditions and burden and weigh the people down as if you have to meet this standard for you to be pleasing to God and to be accepted by God. I want you to know that if you go to a church and they put on you additional laws and additional traditions that impose upon you outside of God's word and the Spirit of God, I want you to know that that is not for you. You and I are supposed to obey the command of Moses, but the command of Jesus. To love the Lord your God with what? All, key word. All of our heart, all of our mind, our soul, our strength, the effort part, not to be saved, but as a result of. And the second commandment is like the first. Love who? Your neighbor. Did you catch that, Browns and Andersons? We were just talking about that. Love your neighbor. I don't live near them, but I was informed that I'm your neighbor. Right? According to the definition of Jesus. Love God. Love people. The laws of the prophets are summed up in that. So here Jesus is. He's talking about, come to me, all who are burdened. I want you to put that in the right context. You know, most of my life, I put it in the context of, I am burdened with many things in this life. The demands of life, these weights, the burden, all of these things, situations, circumstances, the toil of this life, relationships, leadership, the list goes on, and your list is going to overlap with mine, and some things are going to be a little different than each other, but I used to just equate it with only that. And Jesus is really saying here, those of you who carry a burden to try to reach God in your effort to be saved, basically Jesus is saying, I've got a better way than what you have been taught. A better way than what they were being taught. And I'll tell you, that teaching hasn't died. It's taken on other faces, but the principle's the same. And it can be a denomination. It can be an individual church within a fellowship. It can be independent. It could be whatever, okay? Some of you have some other church experience in your life than this. And even within this, or our fellowship, this kind of stuff can creep in. Not only can it creep in there, so don't cast stones at the church, it can creep into our individual life. That we become Well, in that context, religious. By the demands we put on ourselves, and it bleeds into now our expectation of other people. Right? Right, Dennis? Yeah, it can creep in. And now we're off the mark. And it was subtle. And we can think it's righteous. We can think it's noble. Well, because we came up with it. We impose our own tradition, our own standard, in addition to the teaching of God. And we sometimes add things to it or make something that is not. And it becomes burdensome to us. Not the burden of Christ. It's other people's ideas. It's other people's voices. It's our own ideas, our own efforts. And we try to attach it to a scripture verse. And the scripture verse doesn't really mean what we want it to. But we make it that. And we layer this in our life that adds ungodly burdens. We're supposed to live a life of responsibility. I mean, Jesus says it here. You know, you're still supposed to have a yoke. It's just to be yoked with Him. That's different. Here it is. He gives you a promise. The promise in the verses is this. He promises to give you rest. That doesn't necessarily mean good sleep. It can when we need it. And yes, we should rest this body and we should rest from the toils of life. We should have a Sabbath, okay, a Sabbath day, a Sabbath rest. But my Sabbath rest does not include not removing a burden for somebody else. Because that's what the Pharisees, religious leaders, were guilty of. They put these burdens on the people, and yet they themselves didn't lift a finger, Jesus says, to help them. And yet Jesus, on the Sabbath, would heal people. And the religious community got upset because he was doing something outside of their law. And Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Basically, who are you to tell me? Where were you when I flung the stars in space, right? All of that passage? Hey, where were you? I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And I'm going to do more than lift a finger to help those who are oppressed or carry a burden. And so on a Sabbath, he would liberate and heal people. Now, it didn't have to be a Sabbath. He did it on days that weren't Sabbath. But on the Sabbath. Because that person knew no Sabbath. On your day off, whatever that means to you. Some of you are like, oh, a day off. Yeah, I wish I had that. Well, if you don't have one, that's your fault. It's our choosing. But that day off doesn't mean I don't get out of bed or I don't lift a finger or I don't help somebody who needs it. Right? I rest from the toil. And Jesus saw people who never had a day of rest. And so he healed them so that they could have a day of rest. Whether it was a sickness that never left them. It's not like their disease said, oh, it's a Sabbath, I got to give them a day off. I'll see you on Sunday, Saturday being the Sabbath. You know, Jesus, he really hated what they did to people. He did. He hated it. You see, he speaks of this burden that is specifically, in this context, a spiritual burden. Now, there are verses that go along with the toils of this life, the burdens we carry by our own decision, by circumstances, demands, our weakness to say no when we should, or adding things to our life. And, you know, I got a spare moment. I got a spare morning. I've got to fill it with something. To the point that we become unhealthy. And we wear ourselves down, and it bleeds into our spiritual walk, and it bleeds into our relationship and our expectation of others. And now we have set the trap for ourselves. And it hinders our walk and understanding of Jesus and what he has done for us and what he has meant for us. He is saying, all who burdened, who are heavy laden, he says, I've got a better way for you spiritually than to think you're going to earn your way, buy your way, or work your way into heaven. He says, that's not God's intention and God's plan for you. So all who would come, see, the invitation is for us to come, right? See, here's the catch. He promises rest, and then you and I just continue to just live the same and make our same spiritual decisions and live with the same attitude and all of this. We say, where's the rest? Where's the rest? Where is it? Well, there's some conditions for this promise. One is to come to him. That's the kicker, right? Is to come to him. The second thing is to take his yoke, purposely partner yourself with God. The yoke, you know, it you put two heifers, cows, steer, whatever, together in a yoke, and they're supposed to pull together and work as a team, right? Two can do more than... So, here's the idea. He says, take my yoke upon you. Yoke yourself with me. Because my burden, it's light. It's not encumbered with laws to make it to heaven. You still got to walk. You still got to pull the plow, but it's different. My yoke, it's easy. My burden is light. It is not encumbered with works to get to God. That's what he's telling them. You have to remember the crowd. They were just used to all the laws and all the burden and the additional expectations and all the traditions and everything they were told that would make them godly. And then failing, falling short. Even the religious leaders, because Jesus said, hey, listen, do what they tell you according to the law of Moses, but don't practice and live like they do. They're putting all this on you, but they themselves don't do it. Jesus says, I have a better way. You cannot work yourself into the kingdom. I have a better way. Yoke, take upon the yoke. So come to me, take the yoke, and then he says, here's the third condition. Learn of me. Learn from me. If you are yoked with Jesus, you cannot go out on your own. It will not work. will not work. You ever see somebody walk two dogs on two leashes? There's a few of them that have it down. The dogs are usually older, geriatric, and they can barely move. Or you got the show-off who totally trained them for years. Other than that, and don't try riding a bike doing it. I've seen those people in the ER. You pull together, and if we will abandon the whole works idea to gain salvation and understand that it is by God's grace through faith that you and I have been freed from our other master, sin. It is a taskmaster. Our expectations, our human, tendency, our imposing things on ourselves that are not from the Lord. And yet we feel like we're doing some kind of spiritual thing for Him. Be aware of this. It'll corrupt you. It'll keep you at a distance from the Lord when He's saying, no, you got to put this yoke on you. You got to come and learn from me. Learning means this. You either didn't know it or you have to change your mind about something. We don't like to admit that we didn't know something. But some of us can say, I didn't know that. And we learn. The tougher one is to change our mind about something that we thought we knew and we would never want to admit that we're wrong. Or we never want to admit that our parents were wrong. I mean, it works like this. We come into the household of grace and faith, and our parents already passed from this life. It's horrifying to think, because they didn't have faith in Jesus Christ, that they didn't make heaven. Their eternity is apart from God forever. Not redeemable. So we come up with stuff to give us peace about their eternal predicament, situation. This is a hard thing. I've had people in my life who went on to eternity who I know did not know the Lord. Now, I don't know every final moment of every person. I'm thankful for last human breath salvation experiences. Right? Because He does it. You, not you, but you, you'll be with me in paradise today. Right? Right? You look at the crucifixion of Christ, you go, He died in between two thieves. One criticized, the other one rebuked Him, the other one had faith, and Jesus said, I see faith in you. We don't know that He had time for the sinner's prayer. It's that Jesus saw faith in Him. There was no way He could work anymore to try to gain, right? He's on a cross. It's not like, hey, let me down now, heal my wounds, and let me live a different life to earn my way to God. Impossible for Him. He's dying as a thief. And yet, He goes to paradise with Jesus. Yeah. Don't walk out of here thinking, that's my plan. I get to feed my flesh, be immoral, do whatever I want, be incriminated for it. And just before they flip the switch on the electric chair, can we do a countdown of three? Because I got to do something. 3, 2, Jesus. And we have an expectation to go. I'm sorry, Sue. I shouldn't be acting that stuff out, should I? That's right. She got a good kick out of me this last week. This has nothing to do with my sermon, me acting stuff out. So her and I went out and had, like, was that early supper? Dinner, whatever. We ate. And we went to a Mexican restaurant. And I don't speak Spanish. I know it shocks you. Say a few words. I'm not even sure I pronounce them right. And one of the wait staff came over, and she was not the one who initially was going to take our order. We didn't place it yet. But she came over and wanted to know if we were ready to order. I picked up on that. And, you know, Sue already knew what she wanted, and I decide on the fly. I don't always know before. It's when the person comes, I decide. It's a terrible way to live. Anyhow, so what are you going to have? I don't know. And then I order, and then they go, really, you're going to get that? Well, it's a little late now. So we're there. And this lady comes over, and this has nothing to do with the sermon. Oh, my goodness. See, Randy, this is why church goes so long. Revelation. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story anyhow. So, she comes over, like, did you decide I can go get the waitress? And Sue and I are like, yeah, okay. And then, of course, I'm trying to be polite. Not that Sue wasn't. That's not my point. She said, yeah, we're ready. And I'm like, yeah, but don't tell her she has to hurry. And then, of course, she comes back and is now trying to communicate because her English wasn't good and my Spanish is horrible. And so now she's like, oh, you're not ready. And Sue's like, no, we're ready. 2 minutes. She just doesn't need to hurry. And so she's confused whether we're ready to order and she should go get the waitress, or we're not ready to order and we need new time. So I'm taking over the conversation, and I'm sitting in the booth, okay? I'm sitting in the booth. I got to actually sit down. So I'm sitting in the booth, and now she's leaving, but we want to order. And she's going to go tell the waitress that we're ready, but I'm just trying to be polite and say she doesn't need to hurry. We're okay. So she's back and forth, like, you're ready, you're not ready, you're ready, you know. And so I start acting things out. Like I'm saying, we're ready, you can go get her, but tell her not to hurry. As I'm sitting there, tell her not to hurry. Sue is starting to just come apart at the seams. You know, she can't wait to tell our kids, and because they're going to laugh, Dad. And so she leaves, and Sue, what's so funny? And this is the part that really got her, because I said, she's got to know that this means no hurry. I said, that's universal for hurry. She starts listing all the other things it could possibly mean. You're running, you're going to go jogging, you're going to, you know, all this, you're skiing, you know. So my wife had a great laugh going out with me. You should go to a restaurant with me, an international one. It's a blast. Okay. That didn't probably do anything for the sermon, but at least it woke some of you up and you're laughing. Okay, so always a communication tactic. All right. So Jesus is communicating effectively, all right. Peter wrote this, cast. I'm acting it out again, right? Yeah. Peter wrote it this way. He said, listen, cast all of your burdens, cares on the Lord because he cares for you. I want you to hear this. All your burdens, the ones that are spiritual, where we do not work our way to salvation, but we yoke ourselves with Jesus. And when we do, we learn how to live. We learn how to get things done. We learn how to rest. We learn how to work. We learn how to toil. We learn how to process things in our life. Because you can't just pull away from him. But the catch is this. You and I need to come, and you and I choose to take the yoke upon us. And then it's called learning, not fighting against him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Listen, he has a better way for you to live than the way you're living right now. And I'm not sitting in judge over your life. I just know us. And there's places in our life that we can be living better and more obedient and with a lot less stress and more relief. You can't work your way in. And to learn of him, we've got to change our mind about things. And it is hard to change our mind. And then we think back, and like I said, the people we love who didn't have faith in Christ. Jesus said, the only way a person goes to heaven is through him, period. I'm sorry that that disturbs me. I'm sorry that that disturbs you in the context of having compassion. I'm not sorry that that is the truth. It's the truth. And we can grieve and we can mourn over that. And we should, but it should remind us of the seriousness of eternity for our own life and the people around us. Do you and I, will we lift a finger to help? Instead of just burden them, give them the idea for them to go to church, they got to be holy. For them to come into a place and we're not friendly, we're not warm. Is that how Jesus greets people? They're coming. Whether their motive is right, wrong, indifferent, they came. And Jesus says, come. He makes an invitation to all. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what language you speak. Well, if I'm ordering at a restaurant, I care. But other than that, I don't care what language you speak. I worked it in there. It's part of the sermon. There it goes. Anyhow, I don't care how tall you are, short you are. I don't care your music preference. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're born Jewish or you're born Gentile. Neither of you automatically go to heaven. If that were the case, Jesus would have never, like he said, come for the lost sheep of Israel. He would have never sat with Nicodemus at night, a religious leader, a Jewish man, and said, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, you need to be born again if you want to go. It doesn't matter. Nobody's just born and you automatically get a pass. It's only through Christ. He died my death, your death, our sins. He bore them. He took our burden. Because you and I can't uphold the law. You can't uphold all the traditions on your own strength. And even if you could, and you were deemed righteous, you were still born into sin. Because your parents, they sinned. And you're a fruit of that. And we need to be born again. We all need to be born again. It's God's grace, God's mercy, and off of that we have responsibility to yoke with him and to learn from him and to follow him. This sounds like such fundamental things, but I'm watching and observing, and it's not that I see totally clear and this is the judgment of Randy on our lives, but I'm watching believers live under such stress. Such anxiety. No Sabbath. No rest in their soul. I'm not talking just about a day of the week. I'm talking about a rest in the soul. I'm watching how we can't handle the simpler demands of life because we're already wrung out. We're already weary. We're already tired. And now you're trying to still be a believer and I get to church and to do the things believers should do and get together. And it's like all of a sudden those things that become optional because all the other things in life have taken over. And they become our master. Listen, we fool ourselves. Unbelievers really fool themselves because they think, I'm going to live the way I want to live. This is my life. And so they live according to that plan, okay? And what leads them? Sin leads them. Selfishness leads them. Oh, they might still do some good stuff, but they are a slave to those things, and yet they fool themselves as if they made the decision and they're the masters. They're not the master. They are slaves to that. Willingly. And Jesus says, I've come so you're not a slave unto that anymore. I got a better way. And you don't have to knock yourself out trying to earn heaven. You just got to come to me, take the yoke, and learn from me. I know that you and I, we need money because things are expensive and things cost, and that's our way of trading, right? That's our trading system for the most part, just to put it in simple terms. And we have to work to get paid. If we don't work, we won't eat, the Bible says. But have we become a slave to our fleshly gluttony that we now have to work and sell ourselves out from being yoked with Jesus? I'll yoke with you. Hang on a minute. Wait for me. I gotta go do this first. Remember that? Huh? Gotta go bury my dad. I've got a family responsibility. Hey, I've got a new ox. I'm gonna go try it out. Jesus says, follow me. Come to me. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Come. All who come. Come. I'll give them rest. Is your soul just torn all over the place? There are times that we carry burden in prayer. We carry other people's burdens. We help. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. Thank you, Chelsea. Six people in the congregation center up there say, would you give you up there? He's going to quit soon. Oh, bless you, Chelsea. So I want you to remember there's a promise and it's rest for your soul. There's a condition. You have to come, you have to take on the yoke, and you got to learn from him. Learn from him. There's a seriousness about eternity for you, and there's a seriousness about eternity for the people in our life and our community and the world. There's some things that you and I probably start to need to say no to, and some of it might be trying to capitalize on making every dollar we can. There's nothing wrong with wealth until we sell our soul. It's then, I don't care if you come to church. It ain't going to make a difference. But I could put more in the offering. You could. Whether you do or not, I don't know. It's between you and God. But that can't justify us losing our soul. And being wrung out and stressed, and all of a sudden everything else in life owns us, and we say we're free. It says in Isaiah about the prophecy of Jesus, listen to this. He bore all our griefs, all our sorrows. He took the weight of all that. You see, he hasn't left you on your own. That's why he says, take this yoke. Not to be alone, you're with him. What beauty, what imagery to willingly take a yoke. And as you look through that yoke, there he is. Always. 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 Pulling through the hard ground in our life, the difficult terrain, the troubles we face. I got news for you. You are not totally, completely self-sufficient. I'm not criticizing you and I. Once in a while, I ask for help, but not very often. My wife, shouldn't you be calling somebody else? Couldn't she? No, I'll do this. I'll figure it out. Such pride and arrogance to be self-sufficient. And sometimes I'm forced to be self-sufficient because I didn't plan ahead to ask somebody to help. Yeah. I'm like some of you guys. One guy, do a job that took three men. As time went on, then I could only do the job of two men. Now I'm just trying to do a job of one guy. I don't know, a 12-year-old. I don't know. It's kind of changed a little bit. Yeah. Don't be fooled by the navy jacket and the white pants. You might be a pretty private person, tough guy, tough woman, strong woman. You're not self-sufficient. Take the yoke of Jesus. Learn. Learn from him. Pull with him. He wants to lead you. He's got a future for you. He's made a way for you. So it brings us to communion, right? You want the promise of rest. but you won't come to him to the point where you'll wear his yoke and learn from him. Some of us were the master of coming to him. Here's all my stuff. And this is what I want. Oh, yeah, by the way, so-and-so, they need this. I want to do my Christian part. Pray for them. Hallelujah. But we don't take on his yoke, and we don't learn from him. You've been living your Christian life by coming and checking out. Coming, checking out.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.